4. We're going to read a few verses there. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 7 and 8. And God's so good, amen. Just looking forward to what God has in store. Just keep your minds on the Lord and let God have His way this morning. And just trust in God to just move in a mighty way. Remember, like I said tonight, pray for Brother Shane. Please come out and be a part. I know you'll be blessed. And God's so good, amen. We do appreciate everybody's faithfulness in being here this morning. Ephesians 4 and 7, if you're there, just give me a good amen. All right. Ephesians 4 and 7, we're going to read verses 7 and 8. It says this: "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." I'm going to read those two verses again. I want you to look at the word gift and gifts there. Ephesians 7 and 8, 4, 7 and 8. It says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Amen. I'm going to preach this morning with just a simple thought, but on unwrapped presents. Unwrapped gifts or unwrapped presents. And I brought this box up here, and it's something my wife used for storage. But what is that? It's a box, isn't it? It's a gift box. And I want to talk to you this morning just for a few moments from my heart. And this is just last Tuesday morning. I can tell you where I was. I was praying. And I know God just laid this in my heart. This is just kind of fresh in my spirit, and just kind of was jotting ideas down. And it's a lot more preaching than we have time this morning. But I want to get over two points I believe will be beneficial to help you this morning. But unwrapped gifts. And we would understand that this time of year, I understand that the Christmas season, I know there can be an abuse of it. No doubt there is an abuse of that in our country in certain areas and arenas. Some people don't love Jesus Christ or know nothing of Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you can't really celebrate Christmas without knowing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He brings meaning and purpose in everything we do. And I know that it's a time of the year where there's gifts and there's giving. And I don't have nothing wrong inherently with that. There's nothing in the Bible that tells us not to give. And I know it's kind of part of our culture. And there's some things the Jews did where they gave gifts to each other and different things. Well, in our culture, we do this. And many times we give gifts and kind of that time when we celebrate the birth of Christ and giving to each other. Well, like I said, I know there's abuse of that, but I want us to understand that gift giving and gifts did not originate with man. We know that when we read the Bible, we read multiple times throughout Scripture that God has given gifts unto men. And it's good to know that God has given us things and has blessed us with things. And I don't know if anybody else I'd rather give me a gift than the Lord Jesus Christ or God Himself. Because guess what? He owns everything. And He knows exactly what I have need of. And the gifts that He gives me are meet the needs that I have in my life. Now we read in James 1 and 17, this is what it says. It says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." We look at that and know that every good gift comes from where? Where? Above. Ain't too much good coming from down there, I promise you. Amen. Every good gift comes from above. We look at that, and what Satan tries to do, I noticed this throughout the Bible, and just to say this before we move forward, Satan always wanted to make it look like that God doesn't give us anything, or that God's not good to us, or God's withholding from us. You look in the Garden of Eden, you look what the serpent told Eve. He said something like this. He said, "You can't eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden." She said, "Oh, we can eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, just not that tree right there." And He said, "Oh, the reason God told you that is if you eat of the fruit of that tree, you will become as gods," insinuating that God was not giving to them what they really had need of. Amen. But I want to tell you that everything in the Garden of Eden, they had everything they needed in the Garden of Eden right there. Amen. I know sometimes we desire more of these things like that. But my friend, I'm telling you, God gives us everything that we need and more. Praise the Lord. How many knows that He's given you more than you need. Praise the Lord. We live in a blessed life. I'm telling you, I mentioned it to the youth on Friday night. I picked up one of those Gospel for Asia magazines. I said, when I was little, you got a J.C. Penney's magazine. And it was a big old thick book they sent to you once a year. And mom and daddy would give you an ink pen. So go in there and circle what you want. And you circle everything on every page. And you know, you really only going to get one of those things. And there it was. You look in that catalog. And you didn't necessarily need a toy, but you got one because you wanted one. When I picked up that Gospel for Asia magazine, there was nothing in there that was really inherently what a kid would have wanted, maybe, to have with pleasure to play with. I mean, you could buy a goat or a cow or a chicken or a sewing machine. How many kids in America, if you gave them a goat or a cow or maybe a chicken or a sewing machine for Christmas, what kind of face would they give you? Amen. We have more than what we need. We are a blessed people. We have so many different things that God has given us. Now, we look at this today in James here in this what I just read to you. In James chapter 1, verse 17, he presents four facts about the giving of God to His people. And I'm going to lay this down and then we're going to move forward. Number one, God gives us only good gifts. Now, understand that. God only gives us good gifts. Everything good in this world comes from God. Everything in your life that is good came not from somebody else. So if you say, I have a job, you ought to give God thanks. Praise the Lord. You got up this morning, you ought to give God thanks. You got money in the bank, you ought to give God thanks. Everything that is good came from the world. It came from God, not from the world. Even when you don't see the goodness in it immediately, guess what? It's still good to you. I've had God give me things at times that I didn't understand. And guess what? He chastised me at times, but I can stand on the side of victory and say, oh, it was good chastisement. Praise the Lord. There's times that He's allowed me to walk through the valleys or maybe walk through the high waters or maybe led me down a road that I didn't see everything necessarily at that time. But I come on this side of the mountain, this side of the valley. I stand on the mountain. I can say, oh, what a gift God gave me in that valley. Number two this morning, the way God gives us gifts is good. It's not just the fact that His gifts are good, but guess what? Even the way that He gives us to us, give them to us is good. You ever received a present from somebody that wasn't maybe necessarily in a good way? Maybe it was something, maybe not good intentions. And at times the value of a gift can be diminished by the way it is given to us. And that can happen. But I would say to you this morning, when God gives us a blessing, He does it in a loving and a gracious manner. What He gives us and how He gives it to us, we can say, look, God has done me nothing but good. Even the way He gives it to me is gracious and loving. And number three in this fact is this. He gives to us constantly, which means, guess what? He gives to us all of the time. You look there. Listen to the tense of that word. It says we get these gifts and it says it cometh down from the Father. That word cometh down, there is a present phrase as it's coming down like right now. Right now in the service, guess what? His gifts are coming down right in this church this morning. Amen. It doesn't come down once every other revival. You don't have to wait to Christmas once every year to celebrate the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ain't got to wait to the Easter to celebrate the resurrection. No, guess what? He gives us gifts and they're coming down right now. I wonder what gifts God wants to give you this morning if you would open up there to receive Him. I wonder what gifts God wanted to give you during worship if you would have worshiped Him. I don't know who did and who didn't. You know, if your heart was opened up and was God with this service, I wonder what God wanted to deposit in your life even then during worship, my friend. Praise God. I wonder what God wants to give you during the preaching. I wonder what God wants to give you during the altar call. It cometh down. And guess what? It cometh down right now. Praise the Lord. I feel heaven to help us this morning. He wants some of you to understand. He's got good gifts from you, but you've got to receive them. And guess what? It coming down right now. You say, look, I'm waiting for the altar call. It'd be all right with me if you receive it right now. Bless God. It'd be all right if you got the Holy Ghost right now. It'd be all right if some of you got saved if you ain't saved right now. It'd be all right if God filled you with the gifts and use you in the gifts of the Spirit right now. We put a lot of things in the altar call. We put a lot of things in tomorrow. But I'm telling you, it cometh down right this very moment. It's right beside you. God's wanting to give you good things right now. Notice this, number four, and God does not change, which means the same thing He gave one generation, He wants to give this generation. Amen. And when this generation gets older, He wants to give it to another generation. I'm telling you, there's never been a generation that's had the patent on the favor of God. Amen. I've talked to some preachers and they strut and talk like the favor of God ended in their generation. They said, we were the greatest and we were the... I said, guess what, my bread. I tell you, God's still good right now. You can brag on your God in your year, but I'm bragging on God in 2015. Amen. He's still giving me good gifts. He's still being holy. He's still giving me direction. He's still speaking through me. He's still feeling. He's still wanting to be used with the gifts. He wants to use us with the gifts of the Spirit. He wants to give us good gifts even right now. Praise God. I hope you don't leave here today empty-handed. God ain't Santa Claus, I promise you. He's better. Amen. Santa Claus is limited. And he's fictional. Anyhow, I'm just making sure I won't hurt nobody's feelings. I understand. Understand this, that all the kids are in the back. Praise the Lord. And wipe my forehead. And I don't want to hurt my parents' feelings. But understand what I'm saying is this, that God gives us good gifts all of the time. Greater than any politician that can put together a program to give you something, God's given me greater. Amen. Greater than anything in this world that anybody, and guess what? Many of you here probably as a pastor, I know you've given me things. And guess what? As a pastor, and I appreciate all of it. But I'm telling you, there's something when I hit my knees. I feel the infusion of heaven. I feel the gifts coming down when I'm there praying. Now notice this. I have a Christmas routine with my family. And many of you, if you're celebrating the Christmas with your family, you know what I'm talking about. You know, we wake up, we read the Christmas story together in there. We pray together and we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we give gifts to each other. That's the normal routine that we have around our house and my family. But understand this. I've learned something about gifts. When you get a gift, most of the time, unless you're my mother, you're going to put a tag on it that's going to tell you who it's to and who it's from. Amen. There's going to be a tag on it. You know what I'm talking about. It says to the person of interest there, and then it says from the giver. Now, what I want to do this morning is this. This morning, I want to show you gifts from God that are precious, that are holy, that are wholesome. But the tragedy is this, that God has given us gifts to the church. I promise you. I know what God put in my spirit the other day, and it's scripturally to back it up. God is giving gifts to the church, and He expects you to be somebody that's going to receive them. I would submit to you today that God's got more things He wants to give us, but we do not make ourselves available to receive it. Amen. You say, oh, I want God to give me something. No, my friend. Sometimes you've got to understand that you've got to empty yourself of the world and the worldly things that have your attention and that have your grasp, because the know today that God's gifts have already come down. He didn't have to die on Calvary every single year. He's already died. The gift is given, but it's up to you to receive the gifts in which He has given. Now, sadly, this is the problem. I want you to understand. When we reject the gift that God gives us, we cease to be the people that God wants us to be. When you reject, I'm going to touch some toes maybe this morning, but you're going to hear me, because when you reject the gifts of God, you cannot live in the full potential in which God intended for you to live. I'm telling you today, my friend, God has never meant for His church to be anemic and weak and worldly minded. No, God intended for His church to be powerful, to be true, to be holy, that even in the midst of persecution, you can have joy and victory and peace of mind. God's given us gifts from heaven, my friend. But it's up to you to open the gift. It's up to you, my friend. He don't have to give it to you every day. He's there. The gifts are available. If you don't mind me putting it this way, it's right there in front of you. But you've got to learn to yield yourself to the gifts that God has given us. Now hear me today. I believe honestly it grieves the heart of God that these gifts are neglected. But I believe it gladdens the heart of God when these gifts are received. I believe it hurts His heart when we neglect the gifts. But I believe it gladdens His heart when we receive the gifts. Praise the Lord. Number one today, let me move along because I could preach all morning about this. Number one, the first gift, and this is elementary, and guess what? You're going to say, no, duh, Brother Derek, but that's all right. Let's see how much you really know about it. Amen. The first gift that God has given us, of course, is Jesus Christ and all that He had provided at Calvary. Can you say with me and be honest, oh, what a gift Jesus is to the church. Amen. He's still priceless. He's still the greatest thing that's ever happened to this world. Guess what? And I believe that the world was formed for His greatness. Amen. Everything about Jesus is pure and holy. You know this verse because it's the heart of the Bible. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." What did He do? He gave as a gift. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So here it is. Let me look at the Christmas label on this present this morning. Here's the label. It's to the world and it's from God. Amen. It's to the world and it's from God. We have this gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to the terminology. All throughout the New Testament it says this. John 4:10, as Jesus is talking to that woman by the well in Samaria. She said, Jesus answered and said unto her, He said this unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God." Amen. He said, "If you knew about this gift, my Lord." He said, "Guess what you knew about it? And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink? Thou wouldest have asked me, and He would have given thee living water." He said this to her. He said, "Guess what? The gift is right in front of you, lady. You say you're thirsty. You say you're going through a lot. You've got there. You've been married 5 times is what it mentions in the Bible. And you say you're looking for something." He says, "Guess what? If you knew the gift of God and who's talking to you," He said, "you'd open it up right now and you'd take a drink." My friend, hear me this morning. I would that somebody in this church this morning would say, "Look, Brother Derek, I know the gift of God is there. I feel heaven in this room to help us. Amen. I enjoy preaching all the times, but I doubly enjoy it when I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm telling you, the gift is here this morning. It's upon us. How many is going to open it up? Amen. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice that. It's eternal life. Who wouldn't want eternal life this morning? If you were lost, I'd run to an altar. I'd embrace the Savior. If you're lukewarm this morning and you ain't got no desire to do anything for Jesus, guess what? The gift is in front of you. How long are you going to sit there and stare at it before you think you offend the Almighty? No, sir. He's given us gifts this morning, but you've got to open it up. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for the unspeakable gift. Amen. Can you explain it? I'm trying my best and it's tough. Amen. Because I just have to read the whole Bible to you to get my point across. It's just tough. In a few moments without you going to sleep on me and explain the unspeakable gift that God has given to us. Notice this. The question is this. How do you unwrap the gift of God named Jesus Christ when He's given to us, when He's not tangible? I tell you how you unwrap them. You unwrap it by faith. Amen. You come to an altar and there you give your life to Jesus. You put your faith in His redemptive work. You confess your sins unto the Almighty, and by faith, my friend, you are given the opportunity through faith to unwrap the greatest gift in the world. But I've got a news flash for you. Where do you get faith from? It's a gift. I'm letting you know that you can't do anything within yourself. You can't have enough faith unless God helps you have the faith. Let me read to you what the Bible says, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. Guess what? It's a gift of God. Amen. Which means you think, no, guess what? It wasn't the day you thought you felt like getting saved. It wasn't the day that you thought you prayed through. I'm telling you, it was the day that the Holy Ghost came by your way. He quickened that heart. He drew you to a place where you submitted your life to Christ, and then you surrendered your will to His will. My friend, I'm telling you, even faith is a gift of God. Notice what it says on it. And guess what? You say what? Even if I have faith and come to Jesus, I need something else. And yes, you do. You need grace. How many appreciates grace? Oh, yes. I love grace. Amen. Amazing grace. I love the song, but boy, it still don't hit it on the head. It's still amazing. It's still unexplainable. Guess what? You say, where do I get grace from? I'm glad you asked. It's a gift as well. It says this, Ephesians 3:7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God. Even the grace in your life is a gift from God. Jesus in your life is a gift from God. Faith in your life is a gift from God. Everything good, guess where it came from? Yes, guess what? It's still coming down today. You need Jesus today. He's coming down. Amen. You need faith today. It's coming down. Amen. You need grace today. It's coming down. Amen. I'm telling you, God has everything you need right now. And this gift from God never ceases. It is the unsearchable riches of Christ. My friend, it's salvation, the penalty paid, remission of sins, cleansing of the mind and soul, a restored relationship, prayer and favor, the atonement, healing, spiritual and physical,
sufficient grace, peace, and joy. And could I go on and on? Yes, I could. It's all a gift from God. You said, I need peace. Guess what? It's coming down. Amen. You said, I need joy. Oh, it's here. You said, God, I'm waiting for you to... Why are you waiting? It's here. Amen. His name is Jesus. Everything about Him entails this. Notice this. What a tragedy when we do not look at this gift and we do not open it up. Simply taking the lid off and asking God to have His way in your life and surrendering. Guess what, my friend? If you don't know the Savior, or if you're lukewarm today and you don't feel like you're where you should be with Christ, I'm telling you, the day the gifts are coming down for you. Now, this is a tragedy when we get this gift. Three things happen. Number one, it's left unopened. And guess what? If you're not saved today, it's unopened to you. You don't know the joy of the saints. Guess why? Because you ain't born again. You can't see the kingdom because you don't have spiritual eyes. You can't seek the kingdom because you don't know what you're seeking for. You've got to be born again. It's got to be Jesus Christ. The second thing is this, is when the gift is opened and it's forfeited. What a tragedy. When somebody comes into the riches, unsearchable riches of God, the gift from heaven, looks at it, takes a look around, and all of a sudden leaves. I have a quote for that. You never got born again. You just took a tour of the store. Amen. I'm telling you, when you get born again, that God wouldn't let me backslide easy. Yes, guess what? Yeah, I got born again. And guess what? When I was younger, I called a youth camp salvation. I'd get saved and backslid in 1 week. I never got saved like I should have. Amen. I may have felt some remorse and some conviction, but I'm telling you, the last time I went down to an altar and prayed, I got up, felt changed. I felt the remission. I felt cleansed. I felt like I could serve God the rest of my life. And it's that same energy that's kept me going, my friend. I'm telling you, when you get born again, you're going to notice something. You're going to open the gift. You're going to receive the gift. You've got to do more than touch the wrapping paper. You've got to do more than just acknowledge the bow. Open it up and consume whatever the gift is that God has for you. My Lord, how many people come to the altar and content with just touching the gift? Better be careful. Old Testament people dropped dead for touching holy things and not taking it seriously. I get frustrated with people coming before a thrice holy God. And want to treat him just like he's a politician. What are you kidding? Hey man, I'm afraid to touch things of God without a reverent heart. I've told the story before. When I first got saved, I'm telling you, and I like being transparent. Everybody's got different testimonies, but this is mine. Amen. I got saved. You wouldn't, Alex. I was so rebellious. You don't even have a clue. It would make most of you blush if I tell you two or three stories. I was so rebellious. I remember when I got saved. I remember it was there for about a season, for a few weeks. I knew I was saved, but boy, I was wrestling within myself. I was fighting the devil. You talk about temptation. You don't know temptation until you've really been out in the world pretty far and know what you know. A lot of things you don't know till you try some of the things. Amen. And I'm telling you, God, I knew I was born again. And I would pray, I would cry. But oh, I remember it came up in a conflict within my spirit. And people label it different things. But I'll tell you what it was. Amen. I was fighting against Derek Jones. And the Spirit of Christ was working within me. I remember going to a camp meeting. And I told myself, I said it to myself. And oh, the Lord heard it as well. Amen. He can hear things you say to yourself. Isn't that something? And I said, look, if I don't get something in this meeting, I probably won't be able to serve the Lord anymore. It was that service. I was sitting up in the choir loft because there were so many people in the building, and it was just like, you can call it what you want, the Holy Ghost hit me so strong it knocked me back. I knocked over one of the chairs there. I laid on my face. I honest to God, I'm speaking from a sane mind. I could not get up if I wanted to. I felt like heaven had me held down. Amen. I remember the same voice that spoke to me in the inception when God first started dealing with me told me once again, it said, you got nothing to go back to. And if you go back this time, and he says, this will be it. That's what he said to me. I got up, dust my shoulders off, and I said, you know what? I think I'm going to stay in the kingdom for a little bit longer. Amen. It wasn't much longer. I joined the fullness of the Spirit ministry. Doors open. 8 years later, pastor of church, what is it? It's the gift of God. It's His dealings. It's His chastisement. It's His joy. It's His relationship. It's His help. It's His understanding. It's His wisdom. It's His life. It's the Spirit. It's everything you need. It came from heaven. It's here today. Are you going to open it up? My word, I feel heaven in here to help you. Some of you have been touching the wrapping paper long enough. Quit doing it and open the present. You're afraid to put too much effort in. You know why? Because you're afraid. But guess what? Put fear past you. Tear the wrapping paper off. Get inside and you'll realize that it's unsearchable. That this is the greatest thing in this world. The problem is, my friend, when it's left unopened, when it's 450, but guess what? When it's never fully unpackaged and used, that bothers me more than anything. You ever opened something and never used it? I don't know what it was, but when I first got saved, I don't know why. Different ones would always want to give us banana holders. You ever seen them before? Never used one in my life. You may use them. I'm not preaching against banana holders. Amen. I'm not crazy. I'm a little crazy. Not that crazy. But I remember we'd get them things and Mom would never use them. Right along with the bread box. We never used them. People use them, but we just never used a bread box. You know, we just never. You ever opened something and never used it? How pitiful is it? When we take the wrapping paper off, we open it up and we recognize what it is. We read the Bible, we know who He is, but we never use the things that God has given us. I wonder how many this morning would say, now I'm saying this out of love because I've had to do it a few times. Some of you need to blow the dust off. You need to use what God's given you, the giftings, the understanding, the ability. Notice this today, and because all this starts right here. This gift, you say, Brother Derek, all the things you mentioned to me, how do I receive fully what God has for me? And let me say to you today is this, you've got to be forgiven before you. How do you get in the box? You've got to be forgiven. Notice, Luke 2:11 says this, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Notice that Christ the Lord, He's a Savior. He was that which was given, my friend. Hear me today, my friend. Because Satan came to accuse, but Jesus came to excuse. Satan came to accuse, but Jesus came to excuse. What life are you living in? Are you among the accused this morning? But don't it feel good to be excused? You ever been excused from something you know you done wrong? Oh, yes. I remember a few times, you know, my Mom and Dad always threaten you while you're riding in the car. You know, back there was three of us. I forgot who I was telling. There was three of us. My older brother was 2 years older than me. And then it was me. Then my little brother was 3 years younger than me. And he was severely autistic. And Mom was in full-time nursing school. And it about drove her crazy. Her nerves. She had to take a nursing sabbatical. Amen. Had to take a break where she just kind of took it easy for a little while because it was so much on her. I remember we'd ride in that back of that big old van. We'd be fighting. She said, all right, two licks. And I knew Mom was forgetful. So we'd get quiet. Amen. And not all the time, but a lot of times we get home, she'd forget all about it. But other times she wouldn't. But I remember the time she'd forget, we'd be so happy. I'd tell Nick, my brother, I said, guess what? She forgot. And other times you think she forgets, she'd come knocking on your door. So it's different every time, but I'm telling you, there's times that she overlooked it, probably intentionally. I don't know. Amen. Never asked her. There's times that she overlooked it, my friend. You looked at that and said, man, it feels great. I know I did something wrong, but I've been excused from the punishment. I'm telling you, my friend. You said, what did you need to be excused from? I'm glad you asked. You need to be excused from your sins. Amen. He was somebody that just, guess what? You deserve what you were getting. You deserve damnation. You deserve hell. You deserve punishment. But Jesus excused you. He was your substitute. My friend, He's not mad at you this morning. He's mad about you this morning. Amen. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. He loves you. He wants to excuse you. Whatever it is, just come to Him. He is the greatest gift in the world. What a gift. Who did He need to save us from? Number one, sin. Number two, He needs to save you from yourself. Amen. A lot of people don't think that, but you're your worst enemy at times. Number three, of course, Satan and hell and the works there. He needs to save you from sin and your old wretched self. Man, don't ever make a pact with yourself when you get saved and think you're better than what you guess. You got one thing God says do it. He says slay it, kill it, crucify it. He don't ever say nothing positive. He don't say have tea and make negotiation. No, He says let it die. Amen. And let Christ live. That don't mean it gets rid of your character and all of your traits. Guess what? You still get to be alive, but you're alive in Christ Jesus. Amen. I would say this today. Don't spend your whole life trying to die to self that you never lived for Christ. I've met people 90 years old, and I'm not exaggerating, churches. They're still trying to die to self. I said, can't you know you can live for Christ? It's called the resurrection. Amen. And it's wonderful. You ought to come on this side of Calvary. It's beautiful over here. You know, it's not nearly as much blood. You know, that's part of it. Forgiveness and remission. Look, that's Calvary. Amazing how all that is. Old rugged cross. But guess what? The resurrection is a wonderful experience. Notice this. There's three ways that you can... There's three things that God saved you from. Sin, self, and Satan. But there's three ways that you can live life. Guess what? You can live life in survival mode. Oh, you can do that without Jesus. A lot of people just survive. You can live life successful. You can do that without Jesus. You know how many people are rich or have money or fooled by the fact that they have a job and they're doing well, and guess what? I have a car and my family and a nice house. And I love, Lord, that's His favor. No. You can live life, guess what, with survival. You can live life with nice things and say you're successful. Both of those are attainable without Christ. But you can never live life with significance without Jesus. Guess what? When you get saved, your life comes into significance. And guess what? No longer you realize, look, that all my surviving and all my success, it all has a significance. And that is Christ Jesus. That is the deepest purpose of your life. Jesus saved you from something, for something. Jesus saved you from something, for something, by something. And that by something is the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood. My friend, I hear you. Hear me today. You say, well, Brother Derek, that first gift, guess what? It's Jesus. It's Calvary. It's all that it entails. But hear me today. Somebody may say, well, how can I go to heaven? What can I do to go to heaven? Nothing. Jesus already done it. You got to put your faith in Him. Amen. That's what you got to understand. Jesus already done it. You can't do one thing and earn to get to heaven except Him. You've got to put your trust in Him as your Lord and Savior. Rely 100% on what He did at Calvary to save you, my friend. Guess what? You need a Savior. He's the gift. There's a little boy who wrote a letter to Santa Claus and said, "Dear Santa, there's three boys that live in my home. The first one is Jeffrey, my brother. He's 2 years old. He's good sometimes." He said, "The second one that lives in my home is David. He's 4 years old. He's good sometimes." He said, "The third person that lives in my home, his name is Norman. He's seven. He's good all the time. P.S. This is Norman." Comical, yes. But guess what? I've been saved now for 8 years. And I still need my Savior. What I'm trying to say is, look, I know you can live above sin with the grace of God and through reading His Word and praying and staying prayed. I know, I believe through God's help and unction and grace, the sufficient grace, you can learn to walk circumspectly. I believe you can learn that we're perfect. Spiritual maturity. I believe that, my friend. I'm not here today. I know the sins of omission and commission. I could give you, we could talk about that continual cleansing versus permanent cleansing. Is it eternal grace or is it permanent? Whatever it is. We could talk about terms and phrases and phraseology and church history. And what they argue, I know this, I need a Savior. Guess what? I need a Savior. Guess what? I prayed this week and I've asked the Savior, search me. Look at my heart. Because guess what? I always will need a Savior. Notice this today, and I won't be much longer. If our greatest need was information, God would have sent us an educator. Amen. If our greatest need would have been technology, God would have sent us a scientist to the manger. If our greatest need was money, He would have sent us an economist. But guess what, my friend? If our greatest need was pleasure, He would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so He sent a Savior. That was your greatest need. Isn't it good to be forgiven? I'm looking at the clock. I got a few more minutes. We're still going to preach. Notice this today. This is the gift of God. You need to open the box. Quit neglecting the salvation. The gift is here this morning. You've got to enjoy it, my friend. Hear me today, my friend. You must open the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to get to my second point today and not the other four. We'll just get over this one. The second gift from God is this, from heaven. You ready? The second gift is the Holy Ghost. He is a gift to the church. If you ever diminish that, your faith is flawed. He's a gift. He's not a paycheck. I've heard preachers preach Him as a paycheck. Climb this mountain of holiness and you shall receive upon the Friday of the fifth month of the seventh year and the eighth day. No. Are you kidding? He's a gift. Hey man, I'm not going to argue about who I just know this. He's a gift. He's given to us. You don't believe it? Let me read you some Bible. I'm glad the Bible's here and helps us to interpret these things. And thank God for the Word of God. Amen. It says in Acts 2:38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." You hear that? He's a gift. Notice, I'm reading it. Peter said, repent. If you ain't born again, you ain't got a right to it. Amen. Repent and be baptized. Of course, talking about water. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's a gift. Now notice this as well. It says in Acts 11 and 17 when it's given unto Cornelius and the Gentiles. This is what Peter says. For so as much then as God has gave them the like gift as He did unto us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Peter was saying this. I went to Cornelius' house. I know that we as the disciples, we received the Holy Ghost. I go to Cornelius' house. They're a bunch of Gentiles. I didn't think they were worthy. But guess what? The gift showed up there. And he said, who am I to withstand God? Brother Kenny Moore, he's one of the best preachers to me that's walking in shoe leather. They're still made of leather nowadays. Amen. But he was he preached a message, three skunks knocking at your door. He was talking about when Peter was praying up on the rooftop and had that vision of that net coming down and seeing all them unclean animals. He said, look, I'm going to use my imagination. He said, it was all sorts of unclean animals. I wonder if there was three skunks in there. He said, all of a sudden, here's a knock downstairs. He said, those things that he thought was unclean, there's three unclean Gentiles at his door. He said, imagine calling three skunks knocking at your door. Unclean, they thought, but God brought the gift to them. And guess what? Aren't you glad? Because you're a Gentile, most of you, I think. I know I am. I wouldn't receive it. It's a gift, is what I'm trying to get you to understand today. You wouldn't go, my friend, hear me. It shouldn't be the response to the Holy Ghost should not be, do I have to? It should be, do I get to? Hey, man, a lot of times I've had more people ask me, do you have to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues to make it to heaven? I say, why do you even ask? I'm not saying that's a prerequisite for salvation. I am saying this, that why wouldn't you want it? Do you know what I mean? One preacher was asked a question. A boy came up to him and he said, sir, he said, I got a question for you. He said he was seeking for the Holy Ghost. He asked, is receiving the Holy Ghost better than when I got saved? And the preacher said, he said, I wouldn't say it's better than when you got saved, but he said, he'll make what you got at salvation better to you. You know the Holy Ghost, I say this with a surety, you'll never fully appreciate Calvary till you get filled with the Spirit. Because guess what? It's the first instruction to the disciples. And I'm not saying that harshly. I'm saying that because we need to seek for it. It's a gift from God. Now notice this. The baptism is... Notice this. It shouldn't be, do I have to? It should be, do I get to? Imagine today if you get a phone call and the bank calls you and says, look, you inherited $40 million. I bet none of you would say, do I have to go get that money? Would you ever... Not in your right mind. You wouldn't be like, do I have to? Oh, busy. I'll tell you this, it didn't matter. I love you all. But it didn't matter which appointment. If there was a cancellation on that thing at a certain time, I'm going to go get that money. I'm going to pay a good tithe check and we're going to do more for the Lord. Amen. Notice this. It shouldn't be, do I have to? You would say, I get to go get $40 million. I can't believe it. I get to go. And I don't have to. No, I get to. I'll say this today. The Holy Ghost is worth more than $40 million. The Holy Ghost is worth more than the world. Matter of fact, He's sitting here to save the world. Amen. He's worth more than that. So when somebody says to me, do I have to have it? I say, why wouldn't you want to have it? You ought to be like, I get to have the Holy Ghost fill my life. I get the Spirit. I get that. And guess what? Angels would love to be filled with the Spirit like you do. They desire to look into some of this stuff. You think it makes sense to them? I've sit there, God sent His only begotten. He didn't come down in the form of a man. You don't find Gabriel speaking in other tongues filled with the Spirit. It's a different order, a different creation. But no, He's filled us with the Spirit. Notice this, the Holy Ghost is a gift. You've got to get that in your mind today. He's sent from the Father. Notice this, it's to us from the Father. John 14 and 16, I will pray the Father and He shall give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. John 14 and 26, but the Comforter which is the Holy Ghost whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. He's sent from the Father. As a gift to you. If you're born again today, you're blood washed. You're a candidate. It's given to you. This isn't given to the world. This isn't given to the angels. This isn't given to Satan. It's given to you as a gift. And that's what the Bible says. You can't argue it. It's a fact. Now we look at this a few more verses. It's specially delivered. You know, nowadays we have special deliveries. You have UPS and FedEx. But I'm telling you, this is specially delivered to us. Guess who baptizes you in the Holy Ghost? According to Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I'm telling you, you cannot separate Jesus and that Holy Ghost. He won't. You to be filled. He'll do everything. He'll cleanse you. He'll make you available to where you can be filled. You've got to come to the place that you submit yourself and notice it's a gift. Don't treat it as a paycheck. It's a gift. Amen. You cannot purchase this gift. I don't care if a man has $1 trillion. Amen. That's right there with the American debt. Amen. Notice this. Acts 8:20 says this. We know Simon the sorcerer was in Samaria. And this is what it says. We know that they got saved. They got healed down there. But Peter went down there. They went down there and prayed. They received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Simon the sorcerer came up to Peter. He wanted to buy the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You can't purchase the Holy Ghost. You can't twist His arm into giving it to you. He is a gift. He was already purchased by the blood of Jesus. Why wouldn't you unwrap it? Wonder how many times you come to the place of seeking Him. All you do is touch the wrapping paper. Why don't you open it up and receive? It's a gift that's given to us. Now, I'm going to move into the closing here, and I don't want to bore you by no means, but I feel this in my spirit. I want you to understand this, that God has given us gifts. I was going to talk about the Spirit's gifts to the church. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy, tongue and interpretation, miracles and faith, all these different things. We could talk about also the apostles, the teachers, all these different things, the gift of the church to the people. We could talk so much about the gifts of God because God has given us so much. But I will say this with confidence, and I say this with assurity. If you, the first two gifts that I mentioned to you, salvation to Jesus Christ and the baptism in the Holy Ghost, if you do not open those two gifts, you cannot be used in the others. You'll be limited in your effectiveness and what you do for God because God wants you to be filled. Don't touch the wrapping paper no longer. Open it up. Notice what he says to Timothy. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given to thee by prophecy with the laying on hands of the presbytery. Notice this. It was a gift. What is he talking about? The Holy Ghost. Neglect not the Holy Ghost in your life. You could be here today and filled with the Spirit. You could be here one time and I tell you, guess what? If you got filled at 8 years old and you ain't spoken tongues since, you need to be refilled. Be filled. It should be a continual experience in your life where you're constantly being topped off and God's doing things. Look, this is Pentecost. This is Pentecostal preaching. This ain't made up. This is the Word of God. That's what we are as a Pentecostal church. Like I said, you need these gifts. Stand to your feet all over the building. As my wife gets ready to go to the piano, I know we're having dinner in the back, but look, we can eat chicken and stuff right after we pray. We need God to help us. But more than anything else, more than unwrapping a dish, more than unwrapping a present this Christmas season, if you do not unwrap these gifts, hear me today. If you're not saved today and you're not using what Jesus gave you at salvation, shame on you. God wants you to receive these gifts. If you have not been filled